From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Boeing's having tons of problems. It just seems to be getting worse. Is a government buyout in the works? Maybe. That would be my theory, Spike. I mean, this is like, if you can't regulate yourself, you're going to get a bunch of government coming in and regulating your planes, and then they're going to buy a certain percentage of your company. And
it's worked in the past.
Especially
to an essential industry.
Yeah.
To commerce in this country, to trade in this country.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, if anybody wants to litigate that, they no longer have to pass the bar exam in Washington State, because the Supreme Court of Washington on Friday approved several new ways for attorneys to become licensed to bypass the bar exam. And basically, it's, you know, you can spend, you do an apprenticeship for a law school or whatever it might be, or, you know, it's a bunch of, in my mind, basically, it's like this. If I want to pretend to be a lawyer, my cousin Vinny, shouldn't I just be able to do it?
He wasn't pretending. He was a real lawyer.
No, but you get what I'm saying.
You ever see the show Suits?
No.
Okay, it's a TV show based on this premise. This kid was so insanely smart, he just took the bar exam on a bet and talked himself into a job at the best law firm in town.
Right, yeah, but...
But even though that was good television and high drama and there was romance involved, the guy eventually had to go to law school and pass a bar.
Sometimes I feel like... I watched the Libertarian presidential debate back in 2020.
Who was in the Libertarian?
It's like Larry Elder and a bunch of wackadoos.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
You really are loving this. They love this politics game.
Yeah, well, no wife, no kids. And so what I noticed, so it's Larry Elder and there's a bunch of other wackadoos. And they're basically in like the conference room at a Hyatt.
Okay.
There's like probably 400 or 500 people there.
Okay, what? Nice turnout.
And they're all wearing InfoWars t-shirts. And so a question gets raised where somebody says, should you have a license to drive a car? Right? Pretty basic question.
Okay.
They go down the line, and all the true blue libertarians, they say no. Next one says no. Next one says no. Guy at the very end says, well, I believe that in some instances, yes, you should have a license to drive a car. Boo! The whole audience erupts. Boo! No, you don't need a license. And then the one guy chimes in. He dunks on the other guy. He goes, I don't think you need a license to drive a car in the same way you don't need a license to drive a toaster. Standing ovation, right?
Yeah, because how many people are killed every year on America's highways by people who don't know how to make toast
or drive a toaster?
Seriously, guys,
a lot of people don't know how to drive. I've seen the Brave Little Toaster. Those things are nasty.
They jump into the tub.
They will decimate you, right?
Yeah, I love the analogy.
Point being is that I think that we've gone crazy with the credentials and the licensing and the blah blah blah, but with certain industries, right?
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, you know, you got to get a contractor's license. You got to get your whatever. You got to get your permits. Your fencing can only be 3 feet tall if you want to be a lawyer. You got to have blah, 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 blah.
Aren't those all good things to protect America, protect society itself from ne'er-do-wells?
Why is it that the mom who makes soaps in her kitchen that she sells at the farmer's market doesn't need FDA approval, but then this other company does need FDA approval if they want to market their soaps in a Walmart or whatever it is? Why is that the case?
That's a volume of scale. Right? A mom at the farmer's market can only do so much damage when the soap takes the skin off a kid. If you're sitting on a shelf and advertising on TV to the public.
I mean, that's a fair point. But what I'm saying is that have we not overregulated certain industries to such a degree where if someone wants to go lose in court and hire my cousin Vinny to be their lawyer, shouldn't they be able to do that? I'm just saying, like can we not let fools be fools every once in a while? In certain ways, in certain industries, and if you hire a contractor and your fence comes in and the first half of it's at a 90-degree angle and the second half of it's at a 45-degree angle.
Made of tofu and falls apart in the first rain. Sure,
you understand. Well, I obviously got to go get a different contractor there.
Yeah, I agree. But when your actions put others at risk, I guess, is when you have to have. I mean, if you say you get a lawyer and your lawyer does a crappy job in court because he didn't pass the bar, doesn't even have a law degree.
Right.
Just watched a lot of Perry Mason. A lot of L.A. law in his day, right?
Yeah.
I'm antiquated myself with those
references. They're good references. This live studio audience, they love those references.
So that guy doesn't do a good job, and you go off scot-free to continue doing bad things and harming other people, right? Doesn't the city need the guy keeping you from being a contractor making jello fences, right? And eventually you do damage to a lot of people. A lot of people get hurt.
Sure. But,
maybe a plumber who puts a vent in backwards, and all of a sudden the carbon monoxide is coming in the dorm.
So we lie to ourselves about the safety regulations that we have in place to keep us, quote unquote, safe.
We lie to ourselves?
Because what it is we have the facade of safety. We have the facade of this anti-chaotic world that we construct for ourselves with our fire alarms and our sprinkler systems and our carbon monoxide detectors.
Are you poking holes in my facade?
No, no. What I'm saying is that no matter what we do, there is the ever-present essence of death, whatever we do.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
And so, but what we do is we try to set all these little rules to try to prevent said death. But quite frankly, it could happen anywhere, yeah, at any time, for any reason. Did you guys see that guy who was flying? He was flying a Cessna, and a turkey went right in through his passenger side window.
Where was the no turkey regulation?
Turkey regulation, Lord? No, what I'm saying is that think about how much regulation goes into learning how to fly a plane. You have to get a license to do so. Then you have to actually buy the plane. Then you actually have to house the plane somewhere. You've got the takeoff tower. You got the control tower.
Sure.
We've got GPS systems. We've got tracking systems. We've got air traffic.
Keeping the turkey gobbler out of the line of the jet fighter.
What's the pitch of the plane, whatever it is.
Okay.
And all of our hundreds of thousands of years of making rules and preparing ourselves and trying to avoid destined death. A single turkey, boom, right in the front of your Cessna takes you out. Is that there is no law? The point I'm trying to make? There is no law which will prevent death. We lie to ourselves and we say, "Well, we'll make murder illegal." Okay, that's worked. We'll try to make it so people we'll make DUIs more harsh. Yeah, that works really well. We'll do all this stuff, and yet still, we have just an unending crime, murder, and death. And so what I'm saying is like, why are we all playing by the same crazy rules if the outcome is basically the same, right? War on drugs. Wow, what a great success that was. Look at how many rules there are all over the place.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that we lie to ourselves about the rules that we put in place. If I park my car here, I'm going to be safe. If I stop at this stop sign, I'm going to be safe. If I wait to cross the street until the little white man tells me to walk across the street, I'm going to be safe. And all of that in an instant goes out the window because a bird decides that now's a good time to run onto the runway while you're trying to fly your Cessna to John Wayne or whatever.
Okay. All that's based in practical realities. And you're right. You can't beat the numbers. But I still want the guy who's flying my plane home from San Diego to have 10,000 hours of training.
That's a good point. So the Washington Post has this article about SAT and SACT scores might be coming back to colleges, right? Because all of a sudden colleges are realizing maybe we made a mistake. Now, I didn't take the SAT because I thought it was a grift. And I didn't take the ACT because I thought it was a grift. As a matter of fact, I dropped out of high school twice because I thought it was a grift. And so none of this really concerns me. And I don't really feel like it's just sometimes people make mistakes. What do you want? Colleges decided to drop those requirements. Their dropout rates went up because people can't handle the workload. And now they're bringing them back. And what are you going to do? Right?
Yeah. When folks couldn't take the SATs, I understood the rationale behind letting them go and not judging people on them, because there was tough environments. You couldn't test. You couldn't train. You couldn't meet with people to help you score up your scores. So it made sense to just throw them aside for a couple of years, but you can't let them go as a system. It's how we measure competency, how we measure the potential of a student. Yeah, you got to have it.
Yeah, but testing is not really measuring skills. Testing is measuring trivia.
You would rather take somebody out in the woods for a weekend, put them in a sweat hut, see how they do?
The system of education that we have right now is centered around retaining and regurgitating mind-rotting, brain-rotting trivia.
This is painfully
and
true.
So if you are good at regurgitating mind rot, then you get to go to Harvard because you're really good at retaining mind rot. But it has very little to do with the retention of that information. John Curley is one of the smartest people that I know. He listens to everything on audiobook. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
If you ask John to take the SAT, he's probably not going to do so well.
Why?
If you ask John said questions, because he's got dyslexia.
Okay.
Screw yourself.
Thanks, John. If I gave John the questions to the SAT, I read them aloud to him, and he had prepared by listening to a lecture. John's one of the fastest guys you'd ever want to meet. He'd pass with flying colors. You ask him to sit around and look at a piece of paper with squiggly lines on it, I can barely read.
Sure.
Point being is that the way that we've decided to measure skills and aptitude does not line up with actual capability, right?
Yeah, but the study we're referencing about the SATs and about colleges, kids who didn't take the SATs who got into college without taking them do a full grade point lower than their counterparts who took the SATs.
Grades. Grades.
Isn't that the only reflection of what you're, if you're retaining what you're learning?
Did you ever hear about the best chess player to ever live? Thought it was the smartest guy to ever live as well. It wasn't Bobby Fischer, but he was like this guy who he tested one of the highest IQs ever to
wow, no.
I mean, he was like in the 200s, right? I mean, this guy was a brilliant guy. He was a bouncer at a bar in Jersey who was also a vicious anti-Semite who got into fights regularly. Tested like crazy. Real smart guy.
Damn.
Could have been anything. But he was so smart that he decided, well, what's going to make me happy is, you know, lifting weights and eating chicken wings.
Bumping juice, hanging out in front of Joey's place over on East Side.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what he wanted to do with his time. Bobby Fischer, world's greatest chess player, he was a vicious anti-Semite and a conspiracy theorist. Ted Kaczynski, that guy was a genius who also turned out to be the Unabomber, right? I mean, this is so what we do is we take people and we measure them by their intelligence and we give them all of these accolades and we say, look at how brilliant you are. Look at how smart you are. What's Jeff Bezos's biggest contribution to humanity? I took a market and I put it on the internet. Is that a big brain, 1,000 IQ thing or whatever it is? What's Elon Musk's biggest contribution to the world? I took banking and I put it on the internet. Wow. Do you know what I mean? Like we have this weird relationship to intelligence where we think that because people possess the certain trimmings of it or the basic presentation of it, that they're somehow worthy of our accolades or whatever it is.
Or
admiration. One of the smartest guys I've ever seen is a guy on YouTube. He looks like the coach from from Major League.
Okay, yeah.
And he sounds like him, too. So he kind of talks like
here's what I think of your contract. Right,
exactly. Yeah. So this guy, what he does on his YouTube channel is he sits in front of his Samsung Galaxy phone and he films himself smoking cigars and he talks about his various wisdoms about how to live life. He is arguably one of the smartest human beings I have ever seen speak. He could also be a stand-in for Sam Elliott. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like he looks like a simpleton and a fool, and he is arguably one of the smartest, most deeply philosophic individuals I have ever had the pleasure of listening to.
Okay.
For some reason, Bezos comes out and starts talking about spaceships, and we all drop to our knees please, Bezos, thank you so much. Thanks so much for taking a Safeway and putting it on the internet. Thanks so much for taking a thrift store and putting it on the internet. Meanwhile, there are other people out there that actually contribute to our discourse as human beings in a deep and meaningful way. And what do we think about them?
Well, they haven't accumulated trillions of dollars.
Because
and we love people because we love
they don't
winners.
Because they don't give us physical stuff is what it is.
Well, Bezos had a business idea, and then he was a ruthless businessman.
I understand
who didn't
that.
Mind breaking the rules. But that's what we celebrate.
Right.
We celebrate the champions, the guys who stand atop the heat no matter how they got to the top of the heat.
No matter how many people they leave dead and bloodied along the way.
Or bankrupt or broke.
What's that speech from Zoolander? No matter how many people you live dead and bloodied along the way to get whatever you want in your journalistic integrity or whatever it is, it's such a great speech. But I guess I'm not trying to do this like down home country wisdom thing that these people are somehow smarter. But what I'm saying is the way that we demarcate and the way that we establish intelligence in the United States is bizarre to me. Stanley Kubrick was a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Guy was a certified genius. He made how many movies? 9? 3 of them are awful. Do you know what I mean? But the guy was objectively a genius. I mean, so there are certain... I mean, look at someone like Brando. The guy was objectively a genius. He pretty much stopped acting after 1972. I think Byrne was his last really good movie.
He figured out he didn't have to.
He didn't have to do it anymore.
He'd just show up and take the checks.
What I'm saying is the way that we approximate intelligence is not the way that I would want to do it. I think that Boeing is a great example of this because Boeing is having a very difficult time as a United plane from San Francisco to Oregon, loses an external panel mid-flight. Oh, yeah. Bad times.
Parts just keep falling off.
So how many times has this happened? Has anybody been keeping track? Laura, have you been keeping track? Andrew? How many times has this happened over the last 6 weeks? Something going wrong with the plane. It's like every other day.
I want to say six if I'm ballparking.
Laura, any approximation?
Yeah, I think maybe 5 or 6. With the plane dropping out of the sky.
Right.
But then not all the way to the ground.
The way I think about it like this is that if I get into a plane it's either going to crash horrifically or a panel's going to fall off, So I'm either going to die or I'm going to cash out in a huge lawsuit. I'm willing to take those odds.
You really?
I'm willing to take those odds, baby. Because daddy needs a new house.
You're just a gambler by nature.
Houses aren't going to get any cheaper. So I'm thinking to myself, I'll go first class next time I fly.
Okay.
Panel flies off. I might die. Sure. There's a possibility there. But at least I'll die in first class. And if I don't die, then I'm going to get that plane money back plus a whole lot more. I'm going to buy a kayak that's only big enough for a cat. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to get hundreds of them and I'm going to push them out into Lake Union. I'm going to have nothing but cats and kayaks for as far as the eye can see. It'll be glorious. That's what I'm going to do with my money.
You think so? The DOJ is opening an investigation into Boeing, into Boeing. I think it's high time that they did.
Yeah.
I think Boeing's been left to their own devices far too long. With
Maybe
self-monitoring.
That one, left to their own devices. It might be a better way to phrase
okay,
that.
Okay,
right?
Well, they've been in charge of the safety of their planes, of the process of production,
everything's
of the speed.
A hammer, so everything's a nail or a bolt. Am I right?
So it's high time that we got some governance over Boeing. As an industry we rely on and trust. It's
clearly the Boeing board has some screws loose. You know what I'm saying?
That's weird.
Clearly there's
their flaps are stuck in dive mode.
Right, we got to get down to the nuts and bolts.
The wheels have fallen off, dare I say, about the Boeing production mechanisms. I mean, yeah, it's every day, and it's... I don't know if these things have always kind of happened and they weren't newsworthy because there was so... I mean, can you still say that air travel is still the safest way to travel?
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if there were a number of car crashes a day or equated to planes, a quarter of them would be falling out of the sky or running into other things on the ground. So while air travel is still the safest way to go, Boeing has been in charge of itself for far too long.
Yeah.
It's time to crack down to say, let's get real inspectors
but
in place.
Nobody's died yet.
Yes, I mean, they actually have.
One person, you know what I mean, in New Zealand. Like, I feel like if without any
Do we take a real tragedy to get the government to step in and keep us all safe?
It seems like it just parts are falling off of it. And quite frankly, parts fall off of things all the time and they work totally fine, right?
You've seen all my cars.
I'm just saying, right? That's what I was looking. I'm not saying.
People aren't paying me to drive them from Seattle to San Diego.
I used to drive a Dodge Durango, and I was driving one night, and the rear left tire blew out. I mean, blowout.
Yeah.
I was going like 45 miles per hour.
Were you driving on just bald skins?
I don't know. I don't remember at the time.
Okay.
I was doing a lot of the old...
Chances are you were, yeah.
You don't have a drop for drugs.
That's okay.
I was doing a lot of drugs. And so the tire blew out. And what most people would expect when that happens is much like Brian De Palma's 1978 seminal classic Blowout. Your car flips and you go into the river.
Sure.
And then they use that to try to fund a different political campaign. And then John Lithgow tries to kill your girlfriend. We all remember that movie,
sure.
Right? Great movie. Blowout, fantastic film. So you would imagine that my car would have flipped. But no, it didn't. It kept running. And I was able to safely coast to a stop and then stop the car. Now, that's a catastrophic failure of a piece of that thing. Planes are designed to have catastrophic failures and still fly.
They are.
Right?
Sure. Yep. So a lot of redundant systems.
It's not exactly the Wright brothers up there where if it's a catastrophe, things are just done. I mean, planes are designed to get through a lot of... Have you guys seen that video of that plane where the wheel doesn't turn all the way? The front wheel doesn't turn all the way?
No.
Front wheel doesn't... This is back probably 20 years ago. Front wheel doesn't turn all the way, so it's lateral.
Okay, it hits the ground for landing?
Well, so they flew around to get all the gas out of the tanks, mm-hmm. and then they landed the plane with that tire facing the wrong way. It didn't roll. It just ground away.
Ground down, yeah. Sparks
are just saying that there are amazing things that happen with planes.
Yes, there
are. So all the freaking out, I feel like, is a bit much. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. So much big news to talk about, including the fact that a USPS driver has pleaded. I wanted it to be that
I know.
What is this? Guilty to not delivering certain things, which he most certainly should have. Actually, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about rules of the road. With so many airbags in modern vehicles, are seatbelts still necessary? Apparently, the Olympian wants people to stop wearing seatbelts.
What?
This is a weird article. And also, automakers are sharing consumers' driving behavior with insurance companies. Big Brother's coming for your money when we get back right after this.
Check out the Box Yard across from T-Mobile Park featuring Hatback Bar and Grill, Steelheads Alley, and Victory Hall. The Box Yard is Soto's premier pre- and post-game destination with delicious bites and brews. For more info, visit mariners.com/boxyard.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jeez, look at that. Miami spring break measures appear to help deter unruly crowds, and then they smash cut to a cop holding a kid at gunpoint. I mean, that's kind of a weird... CNN does this thing where they juxtapose headlines with the little chyrons that don't make any sense whatsoever. You can't say Miami spring break measures appear to help deter unruly crowds and then show a college kid at the wrong end of a 9mm. Do you know what I mean? That's not the way that that works.
When he says turn it down, he means turn it down, Jack. I don't care if you're walking on sunshine or not.
So do you wear your seatbelt or do you not? Because I have encountered a few people in my life who do not wear seatbelts. They refuse to wear seatbelts, as a matter of fact. And with so many airbags in modern vehicles, are seatbelts still necessary? This is what the Olympian writes. Because, there, of course, there are not other things that we could be talking about. Because, of course, why would anybody not wear a seatbelt? But apparently they're trying to do this thing where you take a stupid idea and make it very smart, right?
Okay.
And so that occasionally works, right? Sometimes works really, really well.
A lot of gullible people out there.
And then other times you realize, like, oh, that's just a clickbait title, right? That's clickbaity. And obviously it's important to wear your seatbelt because, you know, it's, I don't know. Death is something we try to avoid to the best of our ability, despite the fact.
Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole.
thank you, Mr. President, Mr. Ex-President. I still say Mr. President, right? Yeah.
He's still Mr. President. Yeah. But of course, seatbelts are still necessary. Now, Spike, you do not wear a seatbelt.
Thank you for that. I don't. You're
why?
Right. And because I'm an idiot.
No, but
who
why?
Wants to be
why,
thrown clear not, of the accident.
Forget that we're it's just you and me talking. Why aren't you wearing seatbelts? Forget the microphone. Why aren't you wearing seatbelts?
Well, I could tell you a horrible story of pain and suffering.
Okay.
Brought about by a seatbelt.
Okay.
To me.
Okay.
We're talking about a pair of freshly pierced nipples.
Okay.
And an automatic seatbelt.
Is this a real
belt.
Story? You
yes,
pull
it
my
is.
Chain
no,
right
no,
now.
No, 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 no. And an automatic seatbelt that, when it closed, ripped across a freshly opened wound and cause the kind of traumatic pain that I still haven't recovered from. So
okay, wait. So what you're telling me is that you got your nipples pierced for reasons that we do not need to go into.
It was an on-air promotion, of course.
Okay, good. That makes sense.
It was a story about how women can tolerate pain greater than men.
Okay.
And I, being stupid and male.
Clearly doing real good journalistic
work. Good journalist. Was rock radio.
Over there at the Bob Rivers
journalism.
Show. And so you have one bad experience.
Yeah, horrible. Let's not say bad.
And then is that really the reason you don't wear seatbelts?
Kind of. Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
It's that. It's not out of any kind of like, well, back in my day, we didn't have
seatbelts.
I'm
not a libertarian where we tied ourselves to the seat.
Wait, but Spike, I've been in 3 of your 10 cars. They don't have automatic seatbelts. They have the ones that you draw over your chest.
Right.
So this none of this makes any sense, right? This is like
I'm saying it made sense. I'm telling you why I do it.
Laura, are you a seatbelt kind of girl?
I am a seatbelt kind of girl.
Andrew, are you a seatbelt kind of girl?
Yeah, all the time, though. If I'm driving down the block or around the block around my house, I'm not going to put a seatbelt.
Okay, this is what I keep running into. Everyone that I've spoken to in this building, this is a Washington thing, and I don't understand it. Every single person that I've spoken to today about this very issue, because what I do when we get a story like this is I run around the building and I try to gauge how many sociopaths I'm working with. And almost every single person that I spoke to about this very issue said, of course I wear my seatbelt unless I'm going 3 blocks down the road, unless I'm going down to the supermarket, unless I'm going to the park.
Yeah.
Then I don't put on my seatbelt. And I think to myself, okay, hot shot. You know whatever I say? Mm-hmm. Okay, there. You pop quiz, hot shot. I turn into Dennis Hopper from Speed or whatever it is. You're telling me that you at 25 miles per hour, you're going down the street. You don't think to yourself, oh, there's going to be a random Amtrak train coming out of nowhere because this is Inception and it's just going to careen into the driver's side of my car.
Boom.
You don't think to yourself that that's dangerous activities to participate in, Laura, ever? You never think to yourself that's dangerous?
The danger gives me a thrill.
So. Now, this is interesting.
A little, ooh, how, feel alive.
How does it give you a thrill?
I feel cool.
Wow, this
She's
is
a rebel.
This
yeah.
is worth it. Okay, so you have to run.
I feel like I'm back in the 50s that I'm just
hey, look
heading
at me.
Down the block to pick something up in my pickup truck.
I'm Betty Draper. I'm driving without a seatbelt. So is it because this is what I think that it is, Laura. I think that because our lives are so heavily regulated and we are constantly told in this very carceral way that we park here, we drive like this, at this speed limit, we stop here, we do this, we do that. You eat at noon, you have dinner by 6. It's very paranoid android, you know what I mean? It's very like fitter, happier, healthier kind of, you know, it's very bleak and very dystopian in so many ways. I don't even think we recognize it. So much so that the simple act of disobeying one of the most trivial aspects of operating a motor vehicle, a seatbelt, is considered to be one of the last vestiges of freedom that we have in the United States. Is that not amazing? I like to jaywalk. It makes me feel alive.
It's alive.
You know, people, we used to hunt, persistent hunt, gigantic woolly mammoths. And the idea was is that we would run them and run them and run them to such a state of exhaustion that they would collapse.
Yeah.
And our brains, the dopamine centers in our brains are designed to have that kind of satisfaction. And instead now, for just like a 16th of that, just a little hit of that, oh, I'm going to not wear my seatbelt when I drive down to the Save Mart, right? Is that what it is?
And not even that, like 3 blocks max.
And it makes you feel dangerous, Laura?
Yeah.
It makes you feel alive?
Yeah, it does.
Why don't you do something like, for me, for instance, I did yoga on a very dangerous dock over the weekend, and a bee landed on my hand. Why don't you do something like that, right? Or do something...
There's an unpredictability to that.
Okay.
This is like a controlled burn of adrenaline for me.
I just think that
like I go parasailing, but if I'm jumping less than 3 stories, I don't wear a chute.
We don't,
I'm only jumping 3
Have you guys
stories.
Ever really thought about this? We don't really live. Have you ever thought about this? We live the same way that toddlers live in a playpen. We don't really experience life. We experience a homogenized, controlled, distilled and distorted version of what it actually means to be free. Have you ever thought about this?
Yeah, it's called evolution, buddy.
Because a toddler in a playpen, she thinks she's free. I'm walking on sunshine. I got all my blocks. I got my stuffies. I can do whatever I want to do.
Sure.
Right up until she comes up against the border of that little playpen, right?
Right.
We live in the same little circus that we've constructed for ourselves. But the crazy thing is that we put ourselves into it. And then we get, oh, I'm going over the side of the playpen. I'm taking my seatbelt off.
It's for comfort and safety that we build this little cocoon, right?
Right. But I actually think it's to our detriment.
Laura's more alive than any of us.
I think Laura's more alive than we'll ever be, really.
Fair.
We'll take a really quick break when we get back. The USPS driver pleaded. What is it? Can we just pick one? Como? Cairo 7? Anybody?
It's pleaded guilty, but I think it should be pled guilty. I've always had a problem with that.
How do we conjugate this when we get back right after this?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, our YouTube channel. I don't often get a chance to talk about it, although I talk about it all the time, where we do digital exclusive content, because some of our content is visually based, and can't really do it on the show because you actually need to see it. The Jack and Spike Show on YouTube. You can subscribe today, like, and comment. Could be a nice comment, could be a mean comment. Doesn't really matter to us, because engagement is engagement. So I saw a story this morning, and it was that woke people are more likely to be unhappy people. And, you know, they're anxious, neurotic people. And the first thought that I had was, I know what The Five is going to open their show with today. And lo and behold, what do I see on The Five? But I see Greg Gutfeld and, generic white woman number one, generic white woman number two. Mm-hmm. And then Jesse Waters talking about how woke people are neurotic and unhappy.
I don't think that's fair.
Okay.
I think if you're going to say generic white woman, mm-hmm. you better say generic white guy when referring to Jesse Waters.
But I don't know.
If anybody has earned the title generic white guy, it's Jesse Waters.
But I don't know if generic, I don't know generic white woman's name.
Fair enough. That's fair. You know, I apologize. That's fair.
I will say that I think that in general, Americans at large suffer from neuroses and anxiety because
true.
We have like a philosophic schism in the way that we think about the United States, which is simultaneously the greatest nation on earth.
It is.
And then also always consistently on the precipice of collapse and chaos.
Sure.
You ever think about that? like how much we're always like, man, this country is so great. It's going to fall apart at any moment. Well, that's basically like this. If I, let's say I walk into a house and it's a beautiful house and I go to the realtor and I go, wow, this is like really cheap. It's like a fifth of what the market goes for. What's wrong with it? And she goes, it could fall apart at any time.
Look over the rail.
Look
outside
over
the deck. There's nothing under
There's
it.
There's nothing. It's going to collapse into space time. You'll be in the void forever, floating through infinity. Like this is a weird paradox, which causes people to go insane. You can't say in one breath greatest country on earth and then other breath you say and it's all gonna fall apart. If it was the greatest country on earth, it would have a certain amount of stability to it, right? There would be a certain amount of foundational stability which would make it the like, does anybody know what the greatest structure on earth is? Like, what's the most rock solid place that we ever have to live, the safest place to ever be? That is what we could call like the greatest building ever made. It will never fall apart, right? There's an instance. You ever hear about the tree bridges in the Amazon?
Yes, yes.
So for people who don't know, there are these tribal groups in the Amazon, and to get around because of modernity, over thousands of years, they've basically taken these massive trees and they've slowly bent them over and collapsed them over to the point where the root system grows out of both ends on either side of a huge chasm with a river underneath it. That bridge will never fail.
Because right? As it grows, it strengthens itself. I've seen
as these, it grows, yeah. It strengthens
it's
itself.
Amazing.
It's truly amazing, you know, human ingenuity. I'm just saying one of these days, Golden Gate Bridge is going to fall down.
Mm-hmm.
That
inevitable.
Right, but his point being is that we live in a philosophic dichotomy, and I think that that's what causes people such severe unrest. You have right now on CNN, they're talking about anti-Semitic bullying at Berkeley in California while people are holding up signs that say free speech is a value at Berkeley. These are things that operate in opposition to each other, unfortunately. You cannot be an advocate for free speech and then also having walkouts in class because somebody said something mean about you. Newsflash to all the kids at Berkeley. People say mean stuff about me every day. I still go to work and say whatever I want to say because it doesn't matter. Wow. Isn't that so great, Spike?
That's pretty adult way to live your life.
I'm just saying that like people live with parallel things in their lives and they don't know how to deal with it. And so they literally, I think that everybody in the United States is dealing with some level of neuroses or cognitive dissonance, literally.
Well, to the headline that the Five led with, woke people are the most unhappy. I think woke people, and I count myself among them.
What?
I think we're unhappy because we're not settling for things, because we want to be growing and evolving and making things better. To me, that's what the definition of woke is.
I mean, conservatives want that too. They just want it in a different direction.
Right? Maybe. But that speaks to your point about America being the greatest place on earth, but also could fall apart any minute, because it's diligence, it's maintenance, it's course correction, it's upkeep,
much
it's
like
evolution.
A house.
Yeah,
much like a house,
right?
Right. I just want for people to, you know, the hallmark of anxiety is having two conflicting thoughts in your mind at the same time. That's what causes people to have severe, severe anxiety about a circumstance.
Interesting.
And so I think that Ram Dass said it best, which is be here now, right? What's going on now, as opposed to whatever fiction that people try to project out into the world and live in that weird little chaotic space. All right. Well, that was a fun show, everybody. I had fun. Andrew, A+ today. A+, my
friend. Even without my seatbelt.
You did a great job, my dude. Now, I understand Nate Connors is MIA today, or is he remote today?
He's remote.
Dang, Nate Connors back at it again with the slippers at work, my guy, in the pajama
pants.
He is,
he's right here.
Nate Connors killing it.
No pajamas today, just slippers.
I don't believe that for a second, Nate Connors.
Never mind. I'm not going to make the joke.
Laura, A+. Spike, I'll give you a solid C+.
Thanks,
today.
Buddy.
Excellent.
I almost blew
job.
On that last
note. No, no. Excellent save, my friend. Here, my friends, is your quote of the day.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Donald Trump is just a boy.
He is a boy.
Standing in front of a country.
Yes.
Asking it to like him. Right?
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save.